You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here today, again, with my bud, David Niles.
Yo!
Dave, and it's great, this is number 20. 21.
Our show can drink.
Yes, our show can now drink.
And so we shall.
And yes, we will. So, welcome, if you are just tuning in for the first time to the Catholic Man Show, if you caught us on St. Michael Catholic Radio, or Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting, or our iTunes podcast,
or Breadbox Media.
Welcome. And actually, Dave, guess what? We're going to be in the Louisiana market, Lafayette, Louisiana, coming up.
Yeah, I know. I'm pumped.
In the first of October.
A lot of good Catholics down there.
A lot of great Catholics down there. So I'm really excited to get into that market and hear from those guys.
Yeah.
But Dave, you know what? I just don't really know. I didn't really come prepared at all for this show.
Dude, I thought you were going to prepare.
I thought this was your turn.
No, I don't know.
Well, that's going to be awkward.
Well.
You know what we should do?
Huh.
Since neither one of us have any idea what we're going to do, let's just call our buddy Patrick up.
Oh, P-Dog?
Yeah, Patrick Coffin from Catholic Answers.
Okay.
Let's just give him a shout. Patrick, are you there?
This is Patrick's cell phone. You can begin speaking live because he actually is here at the sound of the beep.
Got me.
The voicemail.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up, Patrick?
Well, the present moment. That's up too. That present moment's up too. That present moment's also up too. All right, I'll stop there.
The joke that keeps on giving.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Try the veal.
Hey, welcome. If this is your first time on the Catholic Man Show, well, this is your first time on the Catholic Man Show. But if it's your first time listening, we do three things. Dave, tell them what the three things are.
We do three manly things on this show. The first thing we do is open a manly beverage and enjoy it. Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. We drink on the show.
Yes.
No, we're not ashamed of that.
No.
The second thing we do is we highlight a man gear of some kind. Something manly that all men should probably have and use. And the third thing we do is discuss a manly topic. So sit back and relax. We're about to do all three of those. And we're here with Patrick Coffin.
It's going to be sweet.
Patrick, Adam is literally like giddy. I can see him.
I am pumped.
You look
literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. So, yeah. Patrick, I have listened to you for a long, long, long time on Catholic Answers Live. But
And Catholic Focus podcast.
Yeah, and Catholic Focus. That's right. I've actually really loved that podcast. That's been good.
Thanks.
But tell us a little bit about yourself just as a dude. I know you as a host, but I don't know you as a man, so to speak.
I love the opportunity to begin my answer with the words, as a dude.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I love it. I was born a dude at a young age in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
My hometown on the east coast of Canada. I grew up with a non-dude sister named Cindy and a non-dude mother named Mary. My dad is Jack Coffin.
That's a good
and,
dude name.
Yeah, it's John Francis, still goes by Jack. I don't know why it's not really short for John. I would say, Dad, why do you say Jack short for John? Exact same letters. Help me with this. The mystery. Huh. Mystery of the universe. So I was blessed with a Catholic father who made sure I got all my sacraments. And my mother was not Catholic growing up. She became a convinced Romanist in 1980, thanks to the Curcio movement and retrovite. Long story there, but my family are all practicing Romanists. And I grew up in Halifax and had a fairly normal upbringing. It was not perfect, and there were bumps in the road, and not exactly the holy family, but we still love each other. My parents have been married for 56 years and
wow.
counting.
That's awesome.
So thanks, Mom and Dad. Try again tomorrow, okay? So then, I went to the local Catholic university after receiving a real grace of faith when I was 16 years old. I was on a retreat called Challenge, which in Canada is the youth wing, if you will, of the Cursia movement. And on that retreat, I knew Jesus Christ was God, and he had a plan for my life, and he loved me, and he died for my sins. So I really wanted to know more about what happened to me and how to better communicate to others. So I went to a local Catholic university, whose shall remain nameless. And after 4 years of pretty soft or hard left theology, I slowly lost my faith. I drifted into a kind of default agnosticism. And I won't tell you the entire story there because it would be a much longer interview. But thanks to the intercession of Venerable Fulton Sheen and, of course, the Holy Spirit, I came back to the church full on and ended up going to McGill University in Montreal. I taught high school religion and drama for, 4 years in Toronto and in Ottawa.
Okay.
And I had a great time. And went to a place called Franciscan University of Steubenville.
And, never heard of it.
I did a graduate degree.
What was that degree?
I did a master's degree in theology.
Okay.
Pardon me? What was that?
No, yeah. Go ahead. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Theology, focusing on Aristotle, and Augustine and Aquinas. And loved it. I grew a ton there. And just 1 sec, brothers.
Sure.
Okay. This is like that was like one of those times where you're on Catholic Answers and you ask, you introduce them and they're like, oh, can you hold on for just a second? And so we have to like kill time and wait for them to come back on. So now you're back. So go ahead.
Yeah. I went to Bermuda. I'm back again. Thank you. I like to once in a while pierce the time-space continuum. So that was a great time of faith. I unlearned a lot there at Franciscan U, and then I'm cranking forward now into the future. I was recruited by a film and production company to work in Hollywood in creative development, and it's funny that the Emmys were on last night. I was at the Oscars in 1997. I was in the audience at the Shrine Auditorium. I was bitter that I was not nominated for anything, like nothing.
Dang.
Nothing. But I was there because my boss was a voting member of the Academy, and I got to meet Ben Kingsley and Shirley Jones, the mom on the Partridge Family, said, oh, excuse me, honey. It was like a cocktail party. And my gosh, that's the mom from the Partridge Family. Everybody under 30 is wondering, what's the Partridge Family? But that was a blast. And to make a long story slightly longer, I eventually auditioned for the role of host of Catholic Answers Live and was the last man standing. And 7.5 years later, I am transitioning out of that amazing, satisfying job to launch my own media platform. But apologetics really brought me back to the Catholic faith. And for that, I'm grateful and will always stay attached to the art and the imperfect science of apologetics. But I've also been really fascinated by the question of culture and how to build a different culture. And this is all as a dude, because men have a specific role in fighting public battles and engaging in conflict to defend the home, to defend private property, to defend rights, the rights of the church and rights of women and children and so on. And arguments about gay marriage and Roe v. Wade and laws and political parties, those are all downstream. Upstream is culture. Culture comes from the Latin word cultus, which means to till or to cultivate, or also to worship. So if you look around American culture, what do we worship collectively? We worship money, sex, and power.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's the answer to that? Well, we've got these beautiful evangelical ideals called the councils, right? Poverty, chastity, and obedience. So that's what this new show is going to be about. But I love the opportunity to talk to men about what being a man is, because we've sort of lost that, right?
Man,
absolutely.
We have lost it so much. The secular world has just watered down and perverted what masculinity is so much that we've lost completely what the identity of being a man is.
Right. And as a result, we've lost what a woman is. What is true femininity? What is masculinity? And to me, masculinity comes down to one word, and the word is initiation. Mm-hmm. Masculinity is initiating, whether it's a project, whether it's a family or a proposal, that the idea of bringing something from zero to one, that is the heart of masculinity. So femininity would be not passivity and not mere, just sort of an empty, someone throwing a ball at you, bonk, oh, there's femininity. No, it's active receptivity.
Right.
So,
yeah.
We see this built into the woman's body in the formation of a new mm-hmm. human person.
Have you read the theology of the body?
I have. I've heard of this this doctrine, yes. It's funny you bring this up. I wrote a book defending Humana Vitae, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception, and I don't really cite Theology of the Body. Christopher West and the people at the Theology of the Body Institute, and JP himself, of course, John Paul the Great, have sort of got that wired down. But I take it from the point of view of natural law and the teaching of Scripture. So I'm an admirer of Theology of the Body, but it's not my main kind of sweet spot as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We've
pushed your book, Sex on Natural, in a previous episode. It's an awesome book.
I remember the first time I ever heard the Theology of the Body. It was one of the old Christopher West 14-volume set, and it just lit me on fire.
So, but
we've got this break coming up. So
we got a break coming up. So when we get back, we're going to get into the man beverage and talk a little bit about the man gear.
Good. I'm thirsty.
I am thirsty. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with Adam Minahan, joined via telephone by Patrick Coffin. I don't know about you, Adam, but I'm thirsty.
I am really thirsty. I was like doing push-ups in the middle of the break, like in some curls, so I really woke up, broke a sweat. I'm
parched.
Ready. Yes.
So, Patrick, you actually suggested the man beverage for today, and when you did, I just like, yes.
Yeah, when we got that, Dave and I both were like, yes, this is exactly what we were hoping for.
So this evening, we will be enjoying a nice Laphroaig 10-year.
Yes.
The listeners will remember, about a month ago, we had the Laphroaig quarter cask. But the 10-year is really the staple of Laphroaig.
So it put them on the map.
I mean, it really is. When people say, I'm having Laphroaig, or I've got a bottle of Laphroaig, they mean the 10-year. Mm-hmm. The quarter cask is nice, too, but it doesn't have that full-on
bite.
Yeah. It's just a hair lower on the manly scale, I'd say.
I agree.
So, cheers to Jesus.
Yeah, cheers to Jesus.
And Our Lady.
Clink.
Yeah.
Yes, Laphroaig 10-year, it's counterintuitive to think that the 10-year would have more manly factor. But it does. There's something over-refined about the 17. No offense to those who love the 17-year, but Laphroaig is made in one place in the island of Islay off Scotland. And I think the distillery manager, John Campbell, says it best. A big, peaty slap in the face. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's his quote. Yeah, there's a rich, kind of smooth, kind of oaky quality to it. And unlike something you'd find on the shelves of the grocery store, this it just goes down smooth, and it's a very good, you can, add a little bit of a diluting water to it, or you can drink it just neat. I don't know where you guys stand on the advisability of adding ice to to single malt. I know there's various opinions on that.
Our opinion is don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We drink it.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't. You get like a couple drops of water is all you need.
Yeah.
If anything.
Since this is audio and not written, we might spell it for the brothers and sisters. It's LAPHROAIG, 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 in case you're running into a phonetic problem trying to find it. It's not the cheapest single malt on the block, but it is well worth special occasions. You don't want to drink it, as my dad would say, it's not a beverage. My sister and I used to make fun of my dad because he'd say, milk is not a beverage. What is it then, Dad?
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, by that he meant, you know, I would come back after a hockey practice, I would chug like 2 gallons straight. Okay. Milk is not a beverage.
He meant don't drink all the milk.
Right, correct. Correct.
Yeah, but I find that the people in the Gaelic region of the world really don't know how to spell anything. I think they just kind of made it up.
Yeah, or they named their products. In fact, the whole language came up while drunk.
Right.
That's a theory,
yeah.
Too.
That could be it, too. That could be it.
Like, have you paid attention to Gaelic? It's drunken English.
It's true. It even sounds that way now that, I mean, it's not just spelled that way, but you're right. It just the way it sounds is like, you might be wasted. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, you have not been practicing moderation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've cracked Russian. I've figured out Russian.
Oh yeah.
It's English backwards. That is Russian. Now, if listeners want to play this podcast forward, you will get a special message from me,
Patrick. That is a skill.
That is a skill.
I don't know how long it took you to practice that to get good at it, but. That is a skill.
It's actually it's a sound effect. I just hit record over and over again.
There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whiskey is this scotch is really good. It's like you said, it's very smooth. It has an oakiness to it. A little peppery.
Yeah.
But it is extremely smooth.
This was $47 for those who are interested. So, like Patrick said, it's not the cheapest. It's not the most expensive. But also, it's not everybody's style.
Right.
That's
it's
true.
Kind of something that you have to grow into, I think, as a Scotch drinker.
Yep, it's an acquired taste. It's a little more rarefied, and it seems a tad aggressive on your first sip. But I always recommend that you give it a sniff first. Just kind of roll that olfactory experience, and it'll win you over from hello, or it won't be for you. Because I think, in the case of Laphroaig, the smell is so similar to the taste. It's not like, oh, it smells good, but it tastes like crapola. No, the smell is sort of, it's very organically united, I think.
When we had it before, I was, Adam was actually gone that time, so I was hosting with a friend of mine, and he said before he gives it to someone, he makes him smell it. And if they don't like the smell, he says, then I'm not going to give you any. You can have something else.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, Dave. You have to be pre-qualified to drink before I go.
That's right.
That's right.
So,
and it's perfect in the Catholic Manchot Glencairn glasses.
It's so much better out of the Manchot glasses.
That's right.
Phenomenal.
Patrick, we also have the man gear to get to, and you suggested that we talk about the fedora. I thought that was a great suggestion. Obviously, it's a man. You know, when you think about hats, typically, girls can wear ball caps. But when you think about a fedora, I just don't picture a woman ever wearing one. I'm sure maybe they will, but it's a very manly hat.
Mm-hmm. Gentleman-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some women can pull it off in the sense that, like, a wife looks beautiful in her husband's dress shirt, you know, like in the morning, no makeup. Mm-hmm. So there's they're classic, but not over formal. And this is why I have two fedoras. And if the Lord continues to smile upon me, I'd like to get more, because you realize they're lightweight. They convey an image that, you know, it's a good image to convey because it bespeaks chivalry and gentlemanliness and that kind of an era where a man would not be afraid to to get up on a bus and let a pregnant woman sit down, or any woman, you know, the classic door opening thing. If you look under Google Images, let's say baseball crowds from the 30s to the 50s or the 60s even, you're going to see a sea of fedoras. Men wore fedoras the way men wear baseball caps today. And don't get me going on baseball caps as a destruction of Western culture. especially those. What's the baseball hat? Just a quick little tributary off the river. The super flat top baseball hat that makes grown men look like they're five. I don't know what they're called.
The flat bill?
Yeah, they're flat bills. Yeah.
Flat bills. Okay.
Yeah.
You're supposed to leave the sticker on them.
Yeah, the sticker, for whatever reason, gives it...
That's right.
Extra street cred? I don't know.
More childlikeness is what it is.
Yeah. I don't pretend to know everything.
Well, they all, you know, they want to... They I guess they're popular among rappers, so childlike, but also gangsta childlike? I don't know, but Fedora... The fedora is a very different animal, and you should know that there are different kinds of fedoras. The one I wear and the one I recommend is called the classic fedora. It's the original. If you watch the movie, and I highly talk about manly movie, run, don't walk, to get a copy of Meet John Doe, but save it for Christmas. Meet John Doe is Frank Capra's other movie set on Christmas Eve about a good man who's tempted to suicide, not It's a Wonderful Life. And Gary Cooper, by the way, who was a last-minute convert to the Catholic faith, he became a Catholic almost on his deathbed. He wears an amazing classic fedora in that movie, Meet John Doe. Because the other kinds of fedoras, there's a straw fedora, which is also called the Panama. There's a safari fedora that's also popular. I find it a little bit too kind of redolent of Indiana Jones. Just
okay.
My style.
Yeah.
No judging there, but it's like, oh, okay, where's your whip and your horse, you know? and then there's a thing called the pork pie, sometimes called a stingy. Now, the pork pie is similar to the trilby, and they're similar to the fedora, but the brim of the pork pie is much smaller. It would remind you of, you know, classic, like, dad in suburban, you know, San Fernando Valley circa 1952. Not really a fedora from the post-World War II era.
So, now, is this the classic fedora, is this the one, because I saw a video of you on Facebook recently where you were giving away a piece of tape, and...
Yes, exactly.
Is that the hat you had on?
Yeah, that's one of my fedoras. That's a classic fedora. The company I buy from is called Jackson, Jaxon, and every I would say, town and certainly city have a store built for hats. I don't recommend you ordering hats online. If you can find one locally, it's good to support local businesses. The price difference is almost nil. For my classic fedora, I dropped, I think, $35. And it looks clean. It's felt. You can actually cram it into luggage. I never would, but it's very resilient to wrinkles. And it just sits. I mean, they will actually put it into a stretch machine if what you think should fit a little looser. They will finesse it, and it really feels like a cumulonimbus hat, cloud hanging around your head. There's no, oh, this hat really hurts my head. I renounce my heresy. Nothing like that. Very comfortable.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break here in just a minute, but the fedora is really a striking hat. You know, there's a lot of hats that they used to wear in the 50s, the bowler hat, I think is what it is.
Newsboy hat?
Yep. The newsboy. But I think of all those that I see commonly in the pictures of the era of the time, the fedora has the most character.
I agree.
Yep, I think so. Yep, there's a natural kind of Dick Tracy, why it was popular for at least two generations.
Sure.
I appreciate the bowler. It's very English, though, kind of the turn of the century English. Fedora, you can't go wrong with it. And I get a lot of comments.
You really can't.
A lot of comments.
But we got to go. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And today, our glass happens to be full of Lafroy Tenure. It's been an awesome drink, especially for a seasoned Scotch drinker, drinking out of the Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. And then we just talked about a fedora and the uses of fedoras. And now I'm going to give my weekly joke. Are you ready?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Hey, Patrick, just to let you know, the last two jokes that I've had the last 2 weeks have bombed big time.
Rosebud was the sled. Oh, no, sorry. That's a movie. Sorry.
So,
go ahead.
So why was Noah a good businessman?
I don't know.
Noah was a good businessman because he held his stocks while the others were being liquidated. Yes.
I deliberately busted your chops by staying silent.
It's okay.
I've never heard that before.
I'm working my way up. Like, you know, I can't give a home run joke and then follow up with a home run. You know, you can't continually hit home runs. So you have to keep swinging, and eventually you're going to get there.
Exactly. You know, for many years, the strikeout king was Babe Ruth. Every time he stepped up to bat, he wanted to kill that thing, and so he struck out a lot. So there's a good metaphor for you.
Yeah, so I'm the Babe Ruth of Catholic jokes.
Okay. Okay.
Nice.
Now that was funny.
So let's talk a little bit about the man topic that you kind of brought into play, Patrick. You were talking to us earlier, and this is kind of something that Dave and I have wanted to talk. It kind of was on our radar. It was on our bucket list of shows to do.
Yeah, but it's kind of like this is our 21st show. We haven't even talked about this.
Right. So, Patrick, once again, we're going to be good hosts and let you introduce what the topics are.
Well, I thought it's a little bit off, maybe a bit offbeat as far as manly topics go, and it sounds maybe a little unimportant, but I think it's very important for a couple of reasons, and I'm talking about the art of the handshake. The firm handshake. Now, this is a primarily American, Canadian, and British, and Australian, sort of British Empire thing. Other cultures, like in the Middle East, and in my wife's native Peru, the idea of a man kissing a woman he just met was really weird for me at first. But there, it's totally normal. So there's also different taboos and different mores that govern whether or not men and women shake hands. But for men, it's pretty universal that a man would shake the hand of another man if he's commencing business or if he's meeting for the first time or saying goodbye. And this is something I learned from my father. And I've done a little bit of reading on the history of the handshake. And apparently there's a Pergamon Museum in Berlin that has these beautiful Greek funerary images. And this is where, from the 4th through the 7th through 4th century BC Greece, there are depictions of soldiers otherwise bearing weapons, but they have their fighting gear off of the right arm, and they're shaking hands. And the symbolism, of course, is I'm unarmed. So I'm meeting you with my unarmed hand. I'm not carrying a sword. There's no, I can't harm you. I'm sort of, you know, disarming so as to extend myself and greet you in peace. That's the first artistic rendition of a handshake. And so the importance of a firm handshake with eye contact, it just says a lot about your bearing, about your self-confidence, about your, you know, you're living with purpose. You're kind of doing it on purpose, as opposed to how many times you met someone. It's like they're concentrating on a math problem or, you know, wondering when dinner is, and they're looking, you know, at anywhere else but you, and they give you the dead fish.
Yeah.
It just communicates, I don't really care about you. It's not that important. Yeah, you should look sharp, you know?
And to me, it says, I don't really care about myself either. You know,
Yeah. And my dad, let me tell you, my dad is a beast of a man. He's, you know, 6'4" and a half and about 300 pounds of solid man. And he has his hands are about like bear paws. And so growing up,
it's like trying to give a handshake to a ping pong paddle.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly.
Barely get your hand around it.
And so my goal every time, you know, when I was little, he'd teach me how to do a handshake.
A man shake.
I love it.
There it is. And I would always try to get my pinky and my thumb as far away from each other as possible while I was trying to shake his hand because he was just such a big man. But I would try to wrap my hands around his hand and shake him, and he'd always judge me on my handshake, on my man shake.
Interesting. See, shaking hands with me is like shaking hands with a ping pong paddle, but the handle side.
But you're right, Patrick. There is something about when a man has a weak handshake, or he doesn't look you in the eyes when he is shaking your hand. There's something about either some insecurity or something that he's hiding, or something that he's, you know, just hiding from you that you can't.
Yeah, he just doesn't come off as trustworthy.
Exactly.
And whether he is trustworthy or not, totally different matter. But it's not presenting yourself that way when you don't.
It's like,
have
look
a
me
nice
in the eyes.
Shake.
Why are you not looking me in the eyes?
No, you don't want to like try to crush the other person. You know, it's not a wrestling match, but it should just be boom, just right.
Yeah, I presume you guys would go along with me and not really being into the fist bump, which is trendy and that can be. It's just too glib to me, the fist bump.
No,
I wouldn't. I'm not going to make. It shouldn't be legally prohibited.
Well, yeah.
But Lafroy drinkers might make a different choice.
Oh, Lafroy drinkers barely even know what a fist bump is.
Yeah.
Thanks for pretending that you guys do know what I mean.
Well, I mean, I saw a YouTube video where they did it one time.
Yeah. That was back like when MTV had music videos.
Yeah, I barely remember that.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Right on. So it's a cultural marker, I think. Eye contact, firm handshake, fedora.
Yeah.
And it just brings back an era that I'd like to revisit and restore, which is why I'm starting this new media platform.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about this show, because I've seen some stuff, you know, some teaser videos you've put out, and honestly, I want to know, what's it about? Like, do you have details?
Are you allowed to release them yet?
I'm under strict orders from Congress, aka my wife, to maintain a vow of silence. No.
Well, that would be a very awkward rest of the radio show.
Yeah.
It would. #Hashtag embrace the awkward. #Hashtag duck. The Latina is punching me.
#Hashtag Tuesday.
No, yeah.
Yeah. The Patrick. Now, the show is devoted, for those of you who remember the 70s, it's hopelessly devoted to a better culture. And my premise with the Patrick Coffin Show, which will be a podcast, it will be a YouTube channel, and I'm going to be producing myth-busting videos called The Fact Is, under 4 minutes, down and dirty, on all manner of myths that parade through our culture as though they're the truth, like the evil Inquisition. Or the treacherous, horrible, indefensible crusades, or the overpopulation problem, right?
Right.
Fact is, there is a population problem. It's called the population implosion, and it is a big problem. I talk about this in my book, Sex and Naturel. There is no explosion. Yes, on the one hand, the population of the world is increasing each year, but it's increasing at an ever slow rate year after year. And some countries have crossed the magic line of no return. And one of them may be Japan. Japanese parents have not been having enough children to replace Japanese society. They're down 1-point-something children. That is very, very bad. You can't keep doing that generation after generation. You need 2.2 children. That's a statistical way of saying you have to replace yourself, and it accommodates infant mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many myths I could go into, but that's what the fact is going to be.
Well, I believe in this country,
I
think in this country we're under two. The only reason we're staying, but we have so much immigration. I think that's kind of what makes up for American children birth rate.
Yeah. And you see in Europe where Muslim immigrants who have a greater attachment to large families, they are slowly taking over really without having to fire a shot. Just through the math of demographics. But so that's a couple of examples. The show will be available on iTunes. I haven't decided how frequently. I'd like to get up to one show a day.
It may
get syndicated on terrestrial radio. It may stay as a podcast. I'm filming them once I get the Indiegogo campaign up. I'd like to film all of my rants and commentaries and where the guest is fine with it, do a split screen. And all my guests have one thing in common. They are all about teaching self-transformation, whether it's intentional leadership or strategies for getting up and having a great routine for your morning, whether it is how to write and execute a talk, whether it's marriage whispering, porn use recovery, alcoholism, depression. So, you know, we love to complain about the culture, but we don't want to look in the mirror. And that's where cultural renewal starts. Let's fix that guy because he's kind of screwed up. So if we can fix the man in the mirror, then we can heal our marriage. We can be better fathers. We can be better businessmen. We can be better employees and so on. And so that's what I'm doing with the Patrick Coffin Show. I'm totally stoked. By the way, I loaded another one up. If you go to my YouTube channel, patrickcoffin.media, I also have a Facebook page. But the main site is patrickcoffin.media, and I'm doing regular updates. And ultimately, Adam and David, it'll be a membership site where I give exclusive value-laden content month after month. And I'm stoked. I'm very sad to leave the greatest job I've had. Very bittersweet to leave Catholic Camp.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I've just enjoyed having you on that show.
Yeah.
But we have another break coming up. When we come back, we're going to finish talking about Patrick Coffin Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome back, that is, to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Once again, this evening, we are drinking Lafroy 10-year in our glass. And it's now that I'm getting towards the bottom of the glass, it is just really, really good. That's about the only way I can say it. But it's really changed a lot from the first sip. You know, I think my mouth is just kind of continued to warm up to it a little bit.
Okay.
Do you agree? No.
I can't say that I agree with that because it was really good, the first sip.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was, but it's like hitting on all cylinders right now.
Okay.
So, Patrick, we were talking about your show, and I just love the idea of everything that you're doing because there are a large number of shows like Catholic Answers Live and, you know, take your name of any others that are the standard apologetics, high quality shows. But I like the idea of just promoting the fuller life. You know, there's more to life than apologetics. Sometimes I wish there wasn't, but,
A man, it's
I do love apologetics, but you know, just we should have to take this whole Catholic approach to our life, whereas everything we do should be Catholic. You know, the way you tell jokes should be Catholic. The way you cook your food should be every aspect of your life can be and should be, you know, devoted to our Lord. And, you know, the more shows we get that are cultural, kind of like what you've been talking about your show, I just think that that's something that people want.
Yeah, really, and it's lacking in today's society.
And I say that because I want more shows like that.
Well, it does seem to have hit a nerve. I think everyone seems to be articulating the same basic want, and that is the news media complex is fear-based and hopeless, and they can barely contain their glee when they report some latest atrocity. Our country's never been more divided. You've got this toxic soup of vitriol. It's not enough to disagree anymore. You have to slam and eviscerate and, you know, destroy the other guy. I just did an update on my campaign on YouTube channel. If you go to my public Facebook page, you can watch it. And I draw the point out that President Reagan had very public disagreements with Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House, the Democrat at the time. And they had verbal fistfights. They were not on the same page. But they respected each other, and they had drinks together, and there was a gentlemanly kind of respect as men. And when Reagan was shot in 1981, Tip O'Neill went right to the hospital, and he prayed with Reagan. Now, can you imagine that happening today in our current culture of vitriol?
No way.
Chance, right?
No way.
No way.
And so there used to be some overlap. So you had politicians who were conservative and those who were liberal, but there was a fluidity. There was an agreement to disagreement, but also with the willingness to link arms when you had common cause. Same inside the church. You know, there's a crowd that can't stand Pope Francis. He's a heretic or whatever. And there's the people who can't stand his critics. And our enemies are paying attention. And they are taking advantage. We're going to see more and more infiltration, I believe, by, well, please God, no, but I don't see anything else happening other than more Islamist jihadi attacks. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, our lack of unity is coming back to bite us. And so this question of culture and the environment, the ethos that we're leaving our children is very, very important. And it's not, it doesn't have to be explicitly evangelical either. I like that, the idea of a Christian humanism, where you design buildings and you write music and you produce movies with the end user in mind. And the end user is made in God's image and likeness. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Italy or not, but in Italy, small towns or big cities, you don't have this American style like garbage can. It's basically a box with a hole in the top for your trash. No, there's it's ornate, it's wooden, there's like a wrought iron kind of finesse to the design, beautiful attention to detail in doors and a lot of Italian homes and buildings. Why is that? Well, they were designed by people who knew that the users of these buildings and these objects were sons and daughters of God, and they have dignity. So let's make things beautiful. You know, it's not just about the functionality of the thing. It's the style of the thing. It's the beauty of the thing.
Absolutely.
And I find you mentioned, you know, finding a Catholic way to do things in media. I think as Catholics, we sometimes use the word Catholic as an adjective so as to explain away or to baptize mediocrity. I'll give you an example. Catholic actor Bob Smith says, well, I'm already not interested in the story. I want to know what kind of an actor he is. If I'm hiring a plumber or a dentist, I don't look in the yellow pages for Catholic dentists or plumbers. And so the thing you're doing, whether it's a podcast host or you're a father or you're a radio station manager or you're a plumber or an accountant, whatever it is, be the best one you can be. Strive for excellence. Realize that people notice magnificence. They notice patience. They notice kindness. Then that can be an open door to sharing the faith. So, you know, as far as apologetics go, I agree with you, David. I love it. I live it and breathe it and dream it. But it's not enough.
No.
It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. It should be the starting point, not the end point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like trying to build a beautiful building with just an architect who is, you know, coming in and saying, all right, this is how you make it structurally sound. And, you know, you'll have a perfectly strong building. But if you don't have the artists come in and, you know, the other people that are involved, it's tough for architects. And I know there are many variety of architects, but you know, they don't really think beautifully. They think mathematically, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of apologetics.
Yeah.
And there's just more to it. That's a
and
great place
guys,
to start.
Yeah. Cause I think guys are very attracted to that because it's logical, right? Cause you can get like logical conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
You can deduce reasoning to an end result. And I think guys particularly really thrive to that
because you can have a winner. I proved you wrong. I win
because that's what apologetics is all about, right? Is winning.
Yeah, about beating the other person. Yeah.
Right. Can you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it becomes a competition. Who's against the other guy more than you?
Right.
As though winning is succeeding in humiliating your enemy and crushing him like
exactly.
a grape, right?
Exactly. I know more Latin words than you do. Therefore, I win.
Right. QED. Right.
Cum spiritu tuo. Oh, man.
So if someone wants to get involved, Patrick, they say, hey, I like this idea. What do I do? I want to help out. What do they do?
Perfect. You go to patrickcoffin.media. That's the main hub of the media platform. That's where the YouTube channel is going to link to. That's where the podcasts are going to reside, along with iTunes. That's where the Fact Is videos are going to be housed. I'm also going to be doing a blog on the site. Right now, as this airs, I'm doing an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign to bootstrap it from zero to one, which is the hardest. It's the hardest step, right? It's like creation of something that didn't exist, and now it does. So we're very happy with the early momentum. But, you know, campaigns can stall out. It doesn't matter that the wave grew at the beginning unless it reaches the beach. So if people want to donate, I got some really cool thank you perks, some of them manly, some of them family friendly, all of them worth it. But if you are tired of news media with their depressing affect and their hopelessness, if you want some humor and commentary that's rooted in the gospel but not bang on Catholic, then I think you're going to love what I'm trying to launch. I've got a couple of interviews in the can already. One I can tell you is an author named James Hogan. It's called, he's written a book called I'm Right, and You're an Idiot. And it's on cleaning up, you know, the toxic culture and so on. And I interviewed my mentor in life. I get a lot of compliments, Adam and David, about my memory. And I always thank Harry Lorraine, L-O-R-A-Y-N-E. Mr. Lorraine has taught me more about memory and about magic instruction. He's got two separate careers. He's really an amazing American original. He's 90 years old. He lives in Massachusetts now. He was on Johnny Carson 23 times. He was on all the shows. He was on Ed Sullivan and Jack Parr. And I've learned everything I know about memory through Harry Lorraine's training. Wow. And so, you know, I'm sure you guys have been in the say, Costco or some store, and you've got your list, right? You got your man list of six things. Then your wife calls, oh, can you pick up? And then she starts with the list, right? And all of a sudden you've got 29 things.
Yeah.
Well, because of Harry Lorraine, I don't need to write any of it down.
Wow.
So it's all locked in there. He believes there's no such thing as good memory or bad, only trained versus untrained. And so I'm going to be talking to Dana Gioia, the poet laureate of California, and other authors who are devoted to personal transformation so that we can have a better us. So patrickcoffin.media is the way to get involved and help me give it wings.
That sounds awesome. And I was snooping on your page, and I'm just looking at the clock. My enemy, the clock, as a famous man once said. But if you want Patrick Coffin to come to your living room and talk to you and your friends, go to patrickcoffin.media. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yep, I'll do it.
And he will do it.
That amount?
Yeah. There's a whole host of different options for your participation in his show, and many of them involve one-on-one time with Patrick Coffin. So,
I gotta
that sounds good to you.
Patrick, for stepping outside, I know, taking away a salary and, you know, stepping outside the box and doing your own thing is adventurous and probably nerve-wracking. But hey, props to you. We wish you all the best, because, and we're behind you. We've donated. The Catholic Man Show has donated. Everybody else has donated as well. Go to patrickcoffin.media. But we're out of time. Patrick, thanks so much. Appreciate you taking the time to meet with us.
Us two guys will do it again. I appreciate it. And a fedora and firm handshake and LaFord 10-year. Boom.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.